Hello and welcome to BitNet. This is David Collins and we'll be talking about video games. What do you think of the intro? That was made by BeatFox, who it's actually not a video game tune, but felt it was a good way to start the show. And now, why don't we move on to our first video game track? And all right, this is a rather famous one. I'll let you see if you can figure out which one it is. Well, that was the theme, main title theme to Deus Ex, slightly remixed for the official soundtrack, but there you go. Deus Ex, boy, some of you may know it because it's actually in the last, it's recently had a new version of it, a prequel called Deus Ex Human Revolution. But the original Deus Ex was actually released over 10 years ago. In a lot of ways, it didn't exactly do that much new. It took inspiration from stuff like System Shock, and it was a first person game where you were basically in a nano augmented, that means slightly cybernetic, official working for a government agency that combated terrorism. And this was before 9/11, although actually that got a little more creepy because they actually, part of the plot of the game is that terrorists destroyed the Statue of Liberty, and that's the whole reason it was set up. And then there was a whole conspiracy that basically it was blown up intentionally so that this secret government agency could be organized. It's kind of creepy because it came before. The game is kind of creepy like that, but it's also a lot of fun. One of the great things about the game is just its very creepy atmosphere. It's a great atmosphere, and throughout the game you have to upgrade your cyber parts, and here's the fun part about it. It's not just about defeating the enemy. At some points you realize, you know, the enemy kind of has a point, and the people I'm working with aren't exactly the best either. But the point is, it doesn't force you in either direction, and that's one of the great things about Deus Ex. You choose which side you're on. You choose whether you think you're going to fight with these guys because they got cooler stuff or you believe with them more, or whether you stick with the side that you were started with because you believe what they're doing. It's got a great way of going about this. You'll be working for this government agency, and every so often the government agents will do something that unnerves you a little more and more, or that you disagree with less and less. It gets a little messy when it turns out your brother is working with this terrorist organization, so obviously there's some sort of point behind what they're doing. It's kind of just a whole load of grey versus grey, basically. And at the end of the game, you make a final decision that helps you decide what the fate of the world is going to be. You're given a couple of different options, but it's entirely up to you. You decide the world that creates. It's pretty amazing, and of course, given that so many games don't give you... You know, the idea for multiple endings to a game is something that so few games accomplish. And it's just a pity that Deus Ex is only one of the few that does. Of course, it does make it a pain when they're trying to make sequels, but like I said, the most recent game in the series released after over 10 years of no activity, that was a prequel, so that's one nice way of dealing with that situation. One other thing about it, it's just good gameplay. It involves you. You've got multiple ways of solving, just like you've got multiple ways of going through the story, you've got multiple ways of going through a mission, and there's a good set of experience where, despite the fact it's very action-orientated, whether you're engaging with the characters, there's also a lot of ways you can upgrade your own skills, so you can do different abilities, such as, like, do you want to go just be really smart and hack machines, or do you want to go more for the weaponry route? Although in a first-person shooter, generally weaponry is a good bet. Just a bit of advice. I think I've talked a little too much about Deus Ex now, so I'm going to move on to another really awesome game that I probably should talk too much about. It's called Shenmue, and it's the game that I was wanting to play some music from last week, but, well, couldn't get around to it. Essentially, Shenmue is a game that, it also from around 10 years ago, it also took brave new steps. It tried to create its own story, its own atmosphere, set in a Japanese fishing village in the 1980s. It deals with this man called Ryo Hazuki, who comes home to find that his father is being murdered by a mysterious master called Lan Di, who seems to have a bunch of henchmen and drives a black limo, and he wants something from Ryo's father called the Jade, these strange mirrors, which become a plot point, of course, of the series. It was meant to be an epic, and indeed the first game is only meant to be chapter 1 of something like 23 chapters. People desperately wanted more when they got this game, and unfortunately only one X sequel was released that only covered chapters 3 to 5 or something. Yeah, I know, there was a chapter 2 that got skipped over. But the game was beautiful for many reasons. It gave a true sense of atmosphere. The fishing village was recreated in such amazing detail. You could see there was a cat you could play with. You could go and just drop money into one of those, you know, toy capsule machines and just have a bit of fun. There was a harbour there with workers going around and doing their bits. You could drive forklifts, and it was one of those few games where sometimes you just would forget about your objectives or what you're trying to do, which in this case was, of course, hunt down your father's killer, but there was always a sense that there was more to it than that, but that was your more immediate goal. But you just forget about that and just walk through the cities, see the people, walk into shops, look at the immaculate detail, the emotion, the pure atmosphere of everything that was going on around you, and talk with many of the characters. It was unique in that there were something like over 100 different characters in the game, and they were all different. They even all had their own little story, and if you looked at some of the extras, it came on 4 discs for the Sega Dreamcast, and one CD was purely devoted to extras, like extra gameplay modes and details and some of the character, all the bit characters in the game. But in the game itself, you could pretty much talk to any character, and no matter what you were dealing with right now, such as finding sailors or trying to find out if anyone saw a black car that day, they'd always have like custom voice dialogue, so you could talk to anyone about what you were doing right that moment. It also started a few things, such as having action sequences where you had to press a button really quickly in order to actually complete the sequence. Not something it invented, that goes way back to the Don Bluth arcade games, but it certainly has become more popular recently as developers are trying to create cutscenes and then suddenly realizing they need to throw in gameplay. So basically means having gamers press button fast enough to make it feel like they're actually doing what the character is doing on screen. Shenmue actually did it pretty well, but like I said, a lot of games kept it up to an ad nauseum degree. There's more to the game, but I think I'll bring you to one of the more relevant aspects of the game, its music. It was beautiful. It had beautiful music. And a fun thing, you could actually buy cassette tapes in the game and play them, either in a cassette player at home, or you could buy a dictaphone and start playing this music everywhere. One thing I always felt was that it was a pity you couldn't just play the music and walk around with it playing in the background. You actually had to like listen to it the whole time, but there were some nice tracks, but this was always my favourite, and partially because this is always one of the main themes of the game. I'll have you listen to it right now. It's called Sedge Flower. It was composed by Tenakubu Mitsuyoshi and also by Yozo Koshiro. They've done a lot of great work, both of them, in many different games. Japanese, of course. The game was developed by Sega, originally meant for the Saturn release and the Dreamcast. And I'll just play the game music. Play the game music. Was a beautiful song, and there's a lot of great music in Shenmue. But as you can see, there were so many great things about that game, just so atmospheric. It's kind of a pity in some ways it didn't catch on a little more in terms of giving gamers a bit of atmosphere, but I suppose, to be honest though, it did have a few faults here and there, but I mean, trust me, there was nothing quite like Shenmue. Alright, why don't we move on to another little more upbeat one? I've decided to throw you a little crazy track here in a bit of music that actually isn't from the video game itself. I know I'm taking the whole thing of video game music a little loosely here, and I'll probably be taking it looser in the future. Not sure what I intend by that. But this is one little track that's kind of a bit of a celebration of one of the games that I've loved over the years. I think it should be kind of obvious about the game when I play it, but here it goes. Let's go. That song was from SFX, and of course, in case you somehow haven't gathered, it's kind of a tribute to Lemmings, or more specifically, Lemmings to the Tribes, because that's where a lot of the sound effects are from, and that's the whole thing. Lemmings is a classic series of video. I actually think that song was released on CD, by the way. I have to look that up a little more. Lemmings is a classic series of video games. Back in the days of the Amiga, late 80s, early 90s, I forget the exact date. It started with them saying, hey, back then computers had a lot of restricted resources, so you couldn't exactly throw everything up on the screen. So one of them, they figured, okay, how many little images can we get up on the screen at the same time? So they created this whole engine that would basically put all these small images called sprites on the screen and had them animated. It had really small characters because, you know, you could either have big characters and very big sprites and very few sprites, or small sprites and a lot. And so they figured since they wanted to get the most amount of sprites on the screen, they had really small characters. And so they had them walk around, and they sort of developed a gameplay from that. A lot of games came from people messing around with technology and seeing what came out and having ideas. But they had the idea that there'd basically be all this great big line of these characters walking along, and they'd go, like, fall off cliffs or go into lava pits unless the player gave a command to them to tell them to do something. So, for instance, in the first level, they're all just walking around on the top level. They have to get, basically, a trapdoor opens, and gradually, one by one, all the lemmings, whether they're called, fall out, and you have to get them to the door, the exit. So, in the first level, you click on a digger, and you turn them into diggers, and they dig down through a line of thing, and they get to the exit. And the next level, suddenly they fall off a huge ledge, and you have to turn them into floaters, which basically means they have umbrellas up. And so there are a bunch of these skills you give them, and basically you click on the skill and click on the lemming, and some of the skills they'll do immediately, and other skills, other things they'll do whenever is appropriate. And essentially it's a frantic game of trying to give them the right skills at the right time, and also figuring out, okay, when do I tell the lemmings to do what, when, in order to get them all to the end of the level. And inevitably some of them will not quite make it to the end of the level, especially since one type of lemming class will cause them to just stop and stop the rest of the lemmings go that direction, and that's great, but when all the other lemmings are out, you won't be able to they're called blockers, basically all the lemmings will remain, so you'll kind of have to do something about that. The game was kind of infamous because there was one option if you've completely screwed up the level called nuke, where you double clicked on a nuclear mushroom cloud at the bottom right of the screen, and would cause all the lemmings to basically detonate in something, in a huge explosive. Yeah, it was kind of morbid, but there was a weird fascination with it. And it was just amazing just to see the screen completely destroy itself in just the utter catastrophe of screwing up. The game Lemmings 2 The Tribes, technically not the direct sequel, that was Oh No More Lemmings, actually took it up a few levels. Because the first game, like I said, there were about 10 skills. Lemmings 2 The Tribes had, I don't know, 70? I lost track. And there were different tribes of lemmings, each which had tended to have different skill, and the skills you had for each level were different, and boy, I mean, I wasn't actually that keen on the first Lemmings game. It was okay, but I just really loved Lemmings 2 The Tribes. I just thought it was far more flexible, far more versatile, so many more options. Oh, and you had the fast forward button that would basically mean all the lemmings just fast forward, did everything rapidly. And that was great, because sometimes you'd have solved the problem in the original lemmings, but of course, you know, you'd have to wait for all the other lemmings to catch up. Okay, I'm kind of running a little... Okay, so why don't we move on to the next song? And that's the classic grab bag from the other classic, Duke Nukem 3D. Boy, Duke Nukem 3D is a classic in video game history. Back then, of course, there was Doom had made the first-person shooter popular for like the first time ever, and there were a lot of people trying to be like Doom, trying to be nitty-gritty and killing and destroying lots of demons and all the violence and everything. And Duke Nukem came along and just did something completely different. It was, I mean, it did this, a lot of the similar things, but for one thing, it started setting it in more, in more realistic locations. It had a sense of humor to it, and it just upped the interactivity level. For instance, you could flush toilets, you could flip switches. It was really, and oh, snooker as well. There was a snooker table at one part, and you could just go around, say, I'm gonna forget about finding these aliens, I'm just gonna play pool for a few minutes. And it was fun. There've been many different, it's one of the few it's one of the few video game tunes that has its own name, really. Grab Bag. It's made because the guy was that was the name of the music software that its creator Lee Jackson was using. There've been a few different versions of that song. One of them was sung by Megadeth. I'm not that familiar with that band because I'm not familiar with metal music, which is going to be a problem when we get around to Brutal Legend. But there you go. It's a classic. There was actually a recent. But the game just had a lot going for it. It wasn't just destroy the enemies, you could shrink them, you could freeze them. At some points, you even shrunk yourself and you went through small little caverns. There was a huge amount of satire in the game as well. You'd often take place in, if it, whenever it took place in slightly realistic location, it would tend to be a caricature of the location that made a huge satire of the whole thing. So, I mean, it took place inside a police station, for instance, and then you'd find one secret passage down to the. You'd find some of the name tags on the desks were for stuff like Dirty Harry and John McClane and stuff, or secret passage down to a whole area. And, oh, there are a lot of secret, a lot of stuff to have a bit of fun with. And, yeah, I mean, apparently the multiplayer was pretty good, but I never really involved myself that much with that sort of stuff. There was a recent release called Duke Nukem Forever, and that's an in-joke in of itself among the gaming community. Basically, it was a game that was announced something like 1997, and it was released this year, like literally. Now, you might be saying, how the heck can a game take so long to create, which is effectively, I don't know, almost a quarter or a third of the entire length of the game that the game industry has been active? The answer is, who the heck knows? A lot of people would want to know the same thing. The game turned out to be get mediocre reviews. I haven't played it, so I don't know. But sometimes not. Sometimes even if the phrase "all good things come to those who wait," yeah, not always, not always. So I'm gonna finish off with an actual a bit of a fun song. This is actually from an online game, which is also a bit of a satire in and of itself, where you basically play it and you're given an instruction that the As you walk along a canyon, you're told the guy you're gonna fight, the boss, is immune to your weapons, and in order to win, you have to burn the rope. So then you go, you burn the rope, and you defeat the guy. That's it. That's the entire game. There's a walkthrough online which is 1 minute long. It's a parody a bit about how games just do a lot of hand-holding these days, but I don't know. It's fun in and of itself, and of course. Let's listen. It's got a great ending theme tune, which pretty much says it all. And because it's an ending theme tune, I think it's time to end this program. Thank you for listening to BitNote with me, David Collins, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Congratulations. You managed to kill that boss, you see, the grinning colossus. You're the hero we all wish we could be. You made it through the tunnel. Then you grabbed that fire on the wall. You jumped up above him. Then you burned the rope and saved us all. Made it, but how are you? gonna spend the rest of this day? Maybe watch a video, maybe press refresh and start again. Now you're a hero, you managed to beat the whole damn game. We're happy you made it, but how are you gonna spend the rest of this day? Maybe watch a video, maybe press refresh and start again. Yes, it's over now. We didn't want to make a longer game. This is it, I swear it's true. Ooh-hoo. Now you're a hero, you managed to beat the whole damn game. We're happy you made it, but how are you gonna spend the rest of this day? Maybe watch a video, maybe press refresh and start again.
That was Now You're a Hero by Heinrich Namarek from the online free video game You Have to Burn the Rope, developed by Reed Bashiri.